Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olifier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. This is another divine intervention, and after a couple of weeks of white wine, we thought we'd take a break and try something really, really different, which is red wine. We're trying one of the best-selling and best-known reds from the Cape, one of my personal favourites, something that I will always look for on a wine list, and I'm pleased to say that there are places like, for instance, the Colcaccio Pizza Chain, which has featured this wine on its wine list at a not unreasonable price. But before I introduce the wine, as usual, we shall head down to the Cape and just make sure he's there and still sober, our food and wine guru, Michael Olifier. Michael, great to chat to you again.
Thanks, John. He's both here and sober.
Well, we'll have to get that fixed. Not the both, the sober. And unusually, for the first time ever, we have a threesome in the Joburg studio, or with me, even a quartet of sophisticated palates. I know the palate bit is accurate. I'm not too sure yet about the sophisticated bit. You, the listener, can be the judge. To my right, and I'm not talking politically, we have financial journalist Gareth Stokes. Gareth, great to have you back for the third tasty in a row, I think.
Absolutely, John. Great to still be here.
And in wine terms, but fortunately not in financial terms, we are in the red this evening. With me on my left, we have a gentleman who is always behind the scenes when we record these podcasts, making sure that I sound, if not sober, certainly vaguely coherent, Malcolm McDonald of Tersos. Malcolm, great to have you back tasting with us again.
Good evening, John. Thanks. Great to be here.
And last, certainly not least, we have the automotive expert of the Gumtree online site. It is a site, isn't it? It's not a site for sore eyes. It's a site for people who want motor cars. Jeff Osborne. Jeff, great to chat to you again.
Hey, John. Good to be back.
And that's all the gentlemen. We have five gentlemen today, but we have one lady. It is the Warwick First Lady Cabernet Sauvignon 2011, named after Michael Olifier. You'll have to remind us.
Named after Norman Ratcliffe, who made the first wines on Warwick in 1984, I think. Quite a girl. If you look at the platter guide, every single wine that is made by Warwick is printed in red, which means four and above stars. This is the First Lady Cabernet Sauvignon. It does have a little dollop of Shiraz in just to soften it and broaden out the flavor, but it's less than 15%, so you don't have to put it on the label. They do buy some Cabernet grapes in for this wine, so it has some added interest. It's a wine. It's really deep coloured in the core, and then moves out to sort of garnet around the edges. And it's an absolutely classical Cabernet. You get up to your nose. You've got the berries. You've got the black currants. You've got the fynbos herb. You've got the vanilla from the oak, and they're very clever because they use second, third, and fourth fill oak barrels, which means a softer impression of the oak on the wine, 18 months altogether. And then it comes out as this lovely, sappy, smooth, ripe-fruited, soft tannin wine, which is just so easy to drink, and yet has a wonderful sort of backbone to it.
And I won't ask you what to eat with it, Michael, because I quite often order this. I've obviously, as I mentioned earlier, had it with pizza. I've also had it with great pleasure with steak and chips. I've even ordered it with fish when I've had a fried sole. It's done the job very well. I find it quite a versatile wine, but having said what I would eat with it, I would certainly drink this after a meal and still continue to enjoy and savour it. Absolutely. As I say, for once, I was allowed to choose one of my favourites, not one of your favourites, and I'm enjoying every second of it. But yeah. From your point of view, as somebody who is an award-winning chef, what would you ideally pair with this First Lady Cabernet Sauvignon from?
Well, I think for me, ideally, you want a really nice piece of steak, and hopefully you'd have it large enough so that you could roast it in a very high oven so that you can get that nice sort of crispy caramelly stuff going around the edges there, because I find that that the sort of crisp fat and that caramelization is a lovely, lovely foil for Cabernet Sauvignon.
Welcome, McDonald. I know you tend to favor red wine over white, and this is, to my mind, one of the better value reds. I'm not suggesting it's the best in the Warwick stable, but it's certainly by no means anything to be ashamed of. What do you make of it?
Well, I mean, I don't know what the price is, but certainly this is something I would drink quite often. I think this is kind of one of those I call a start marker red wine that you can open up whenever you need to get a red out for some guests. So, I think this is quite nice.
You mentioned the price, and that's an interesting issue. I did a bit of shopping around when buying this for the tasting, and believe it or not, if you buy it by the Magnum recently, there was an offer from one of the big supermarket chains where you could get it at the equivalent of under 50 Rand a bottle. If you went to one of our largest supermarkets, it was around 80 Rand a bottle. Michael Olivier, that's one hell of a difference. Is there no recommended retail price for wines, to your knowledge?
I think a lot has to do with the supermarket buyers and the price that the producer is prepared to let that wine go to. Often a supermarket will sell a wine at under cost to attract people into the wine department, and that's just the way it is. They're called loss leaders.
Jeff Osborne, we haven't asked for your opinion of this Warwick Red yet.
Yeah, I concur, John. I think it's a wine to be consumed copiously and frequently. and it tastes surprisingly younger than I thought it would, you know, given its age of 2011. But very, very nice, I would concur, and ideally suited to a very good Chateaubriand, for example.
Yeah. Chateaubriand being steak in French.
Oh, that would have been what it was.
Well, it's a large cut of meat cooked and then sliced up. Am I right, Michael?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's
a fillet. A fillet. A beef Wellington without the Wellington.
Absolutely.
And who wants to eat boots anyway? Yeah. Gareth Stokes, what do you make of this wine?
Well, I think the operative words here are smooth and easy drinking. And if you're on the journo circuit like I have been over the years, you can almost be sure to find a bottle of Warwick Red at the Christmas dinner table of all the major asset managers. Because I guess they know that it goes down well and everybody basically enjoys it. I've certainly served it at braais with my friends. You throw a few sirloin steaks on the braai, crisp the fat up nicely on the coals, and it goes down fantastically.
Well, asset managers, my email address is on the ZA Confidential website, and I am available for Christmas functions, both as a drinker and, of course, as a highly paid MC and speaker. But Michael Olivier, coming back to this, Warwick, the First Lady, Norma Ratcliffe was a pioneer in, well, she's thankfully, and we're delighted to say she's still with us. She is one of the pioneers of the wine. I think she came under quite a bit of flack for being a lady in a very, very, a lady from Canada, indeed, in a very Afrikaans-dominated, male-dominated industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, she was really one of the first. I mean, there were people like Marie Furter from Zomerblum, and in a way, Annemie Karnitz from Murati, and Jean Parker, of course, from Altheidgedacht in Durbanville. But Norma was certainly out there with Janie Muller of Lemberg, one of the early sort of lady winemakers. But she cut her teeth on strong stuff. I mean, she went to Bordeaux to go and learn how to make wine, and she arrived there, and the lady winemaker, whose name escapes me, had just broken her leg. And so Norma really was thrown into the deep end and learned to make wine the hard way, with somebody in a wheelchair instructing her how to do it.
I wonder, if you break your leg in Bordeaux, do you put your leg in a cast or in a cask? But no, my other first lady joke is, of course, whenever Jacob Zuma consumes this wine, he has to order several bottles because he has so many first ladies. But putting that aside, Gareth Stokes, Cabernet Sauvignon, one of the classic red wine grapes, arguably one of the grapes that pairs so beautifully with red meat, with mentioned steak already. Is this something to which you would gravitate on a wine list, or when you're wandering around a bottle store or supermarket, or are you like me, somebody who likes to flit, to be fickle from varietal to varietal?
No, I must say that if I find a wine like this one, which I enjoy, and I do enjoy it, I will definitely gravitate back to it. And that said, obviously, like everybody, I'm quite happy to try a new one from time to time. So, but no, definitely.
Malcolm McDonald, what are your thoughts? I know, as I said earlier, you're a collector of red wines. What has pride of place in the McDonald family connection?
Right now, Pinot Noir is my favorite. So that's what I'm living with a selection of at the moment. But I might come back to Cab Sav at some point. I think I think as with anything in life, you have your tastes that change over time. And right now, I'm where I'm at. But Cab Sav is, as you say, it's the classic paired with red meats, and I always do have one of these around for those occasions.
Jeff Osborne, any particular preference, or are you happy to take potluck from your expansive underground, air-conditioned, temperature-controlled, security guard-patrolled cellar?
Well, I was going to say, in fact, unlike Malcolm, I'm not a collector, I'm a drinker. And in consequence, I don't collect much. But for me, this is a very delightful wine. I think it's well priced. I heard the disparaging price, but notwithstanding that, it's great value. And I would certainly take it off the shelf from time to time.
And we have to just remind our listeners of this podcast, because I think I'm right, Michael, that the first podcast we ever did was another Warwick wine. Professor Black Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
And at the time, we did mention that if you are in the Cape, there is one place you really have to go for a delightful tasting, a beautiful picnic, and just a great place where people are welcomed in the winelands, and that is the Warwick Estate. Give me your views.
Yeah, they certainly do it very well. I mean, their picnics are renowned. They're really child-friendly. They've got lovely places that are sort of like pods where you can go and be sort of reasonably private. They've got a drive to see the Big Five, as they call them, the Big Five grape varieties. It's a lovely place, beautifully situated.
What do you make of that, Gareth Stokes? Marketing, you go for a Big Five drive in Stellenbosch and you get to look at vineyards rather than elephants.
Sure, as long as they serve you from each of the vineyards at each of the viewing sites, I'd be extremely happy with that. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I think you just look at the grapes and then go back to the tasting room to get slowly sloshed. What do you make of that, Malcolm? I have to say that Mike Ratcliffe, who runs Warwick these days, Norma's son, is, as I think Michael has alluded to earlier, one of the geniuses in wine marketing in South Africa.
I think it's a great idea. I think it's a very clever marketing ploy. And it's well suited to their wine estate. Obviously, as they've got all five of the big varieties there. But I have a question for Michael. I don't know if anyone else maybe has an answer. Is apparently the first wine that they made there, they actually didn't have a license for and couldn't sell, and so they have a cellar full of it somewhere. Has anyone ever gotten a taste of that?
Well, I think. Hopefully it would have been consumed by now. Yeah. I know that Norma did do some experimenting in the early days, for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's a cellar full somewhere.
Now, that's my kind of hobby. Buy a wine farm, make lots of wine, and don't sell it to anyone, and then head down to the cellar every evening. Who needs to watch all this terrible television? Jeff Osborne, a final thought on meandering through the Cape. To my mind, many, many wine farms, Warwick is just one, but is a notable one, have made it worthwhile for people to come on their farms, even if they don't drink alcohol, even if they just want a picnic lunch or a nice lunch or somewhere attractive to wander with the kids. What do you make of that philosophy?
I think it's very clever from a marketing perspective, and particularly where foreign tourists are concerned, and that's where the money is these days, let's be frank. But as a South African, I don't really expect to find the Big Five down in the Cape. I think it's a different experience where I'd quite happily drink this red wine in the bush somewhere. But I think from a marketing perspective, it's a one-stop facility. It sounds great.
Well, you look at five different types of grape and then you taste them all. I think Mike Ratcliffe is a genius, but maybe I'm prejudiced because he's such a nice guy. Unfortunately, we have run out of time yet again. So having tasted the Warwick 2011 First Lady Cabernet Sauvignon, and Michael, at some stage we must also try the Chardonnay, because that's also a winner. I have to say thank you very much indeed to our food and wine guru down in the Cape, Michael Oliphir. Michael, great to chat to you again.
Oh, John, thank you. It was lovely.
And to our guests in the studio, to Gareth Stokes, thanks for being with us again.
Thanks, John.
To Malcolm McDonald, great to chat to you again.
Thanks, John.
And to Jeff Osborne, I know where to go to if I need a new car.
Thank you indeed, John.
I'm John Fraser. This has been Divine Intervention.